really excited about this. So glad that I'm here today. Let's see. This is the word of the Lord coming from 1 John chapter 1, verse, to all the way to chapter 2, verse 2. It says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, and we have seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim it to you, the eternal life which was from the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. Everybody say light.
Light.
And in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. This is the word of the Lord. Please respond by saying, thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for who you are and what you're doing in our lives. Thank you for the point you bring us in our walk with you. And God, we just want to acknowledge the fact that you are in complete control of every situation. You're not in heaven twiddling your thumbs, wondering what's going to happen next, but you know exactly what you're doing. You had a date on the calendar for this very moment. You're the author and the finisher of our faith and also the sustainer of it, and you're faithful to complete the work you started in us. God, I kneel before you because you're greater than I. And Lord God, I wrote some things down, but if your spirit doesn't infuse them with power, they are meaningless and worthless. So Lord, send your spirit upon us that your word may become flesh once again, that your word may become life in us, and that we would not just hear it, but put it into practice, that we may be a blessing to someone outside of ourselves, bringing you glory. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock, my strength, and my redeemer. These and all other blessings we ask in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen, amen. All right, let's get to know each other a little bit here. So I'm a mobile preacher. You see, I just moved around. That's what I do. So don't get nervous. Here's the thing. If I say amen, you're welcome to say
amen.
If I say it, praise the Lord, you are welcome to say
praise the Lord.
If I say hallelujah, you're also welcome to say
hallelujah.
So if I say prove it, you're welcome to say,
amen.
Nah. If I say, say prove it, you say, prove it. Say prove it.
Prove it.
All right, now that's a tricky one. Watch out for that one, because when I say that, I'm going to prove what I am saying with a scripture that backs up what I'm saying so that you don't take my word for it, you take God's word for it. Amen?
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
Say praise the Lord. All right, so those things actually help me preach now that we get to know each other. If you don't say them, I'll preach for 99 minutes. Now, I know that Mother's Day things are happening today, and I want to make sure you get out here on time, so it actually helps me preach. It's not a distraction. Say amen.
Amen.
You're catching on now, ain't you? Yeah. All right, cool. Now we're getting to know each other a little bit. All right. So if you don't remember anything else I say today, the big idea is in your bulletin. Christ makes us children of light. Let's say it together. Christ makes us children of light. That is who we are. That is not who we're striving to be. That's not who we're mustered up enough courage to demonstrate. It is our identity. He's given us a new identity. It is who we are. And we live and we make decisions and we walk out of who we are. It's not something we're trying to earn. It is a gift given to us. So I have three children. I mentioned this earlier. Well, I got two sons, a 16-year-old boy, a 13-year-old boy, and a 10-year-old girl. They did not choose to become my children. They cannot undo their sonship and daughtership. No matter what they do or don't do, whether they do things well or do things poorly, they cannot undo that relationship they have to us as their parents. Amen?
Amen.
It's the same with our Heavenly Father. He has bought our lives. He has become our Heavenly Father through the finished work of Jesus Christ. And there is nothing we can do to undo our sonship, our daughtership, because we didn't choose it. He chose us. Amen?
Amen?
So let's get that straight. Now, the first thing that you need to know is about John. John, who wrote this book. John is an apostle of Jesus Christ, one of the original 12. And so John was him and his brother James. There were two of the 12, and they had a father. His name was Zebedee. And there was quite the reputation for these young guys. I don't know how they got the reputation of being sons of thunder, but you got to bring a little ruckus with you if you're going to be called a sons of thunder. I don't know what kind of guys these were. Maybe these were some lock and load kind of guys, you know, kind of carry, you know, license to carry kind of guys. I don't know. They had a reputation for being sons of thunder. Now, something interesting happened to John's heart when he started hanging out with Jesus that 3.5 years, because he became the one who was known as the one disciple who Jesus loved. Something happened where his heart changed in a deep way, because he is the one laying on Jesus' bosom at the Last Supper. He is the one who is at the foot of the cross with Mary. And Jesus says, "Behold, son, this is your mother. Behold, mother, this is your son." Jesus entrusts his mother to John. And John becomes a powerful leader in the church. He also is persecuted for his faith. There was an emperor who was really, really, really evil to Christians. And he decided to torture John. A lot of the disciples were killed by martyr because they were tortured. And now, for some reason, even though John was boiled alive, he lived through that torture. So the emperor says, "I don't know what I'm going to do with this guy. I'm just going to put him in an exile timeout called, exile." So then he goes to the island of Patmos, and that's where he gets the wonderful revelation of Jesus Christ that we read about in Scripture. So he wrote St. John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and the book of Revelation. And in this book particularly, John wrote to fight against a false teaching called Gnosticism. Everybody say Gnosticism.
Gnosticism.
It's a mouthful, isn't it? Hey, to get you a lot of points on a Scrabble game, Gnosticism. All right. So Gnosticism is a false teaching. It says this: spirit and invisible things are good, matter and physical things are bad. So they could not understand when Paul says in Colossians 1 that God decided to put all his fullness in bodily form in Jesus Christ. The incarnation was a baffle to them, because they're like, why would anybody want to get into these horrible prisons called flesh? When we die, our spirit escapes this thing, and we're going to get out of here, and we're going to be so glad. So what you do in this body doesn't matter. You can drink, you can smoke, you can party, you can cut it, whatever, and it doesn't matter anyway, because we're going to be done away with it. So the morality went out the window. Everybody became hedonistic and partying and just got drunk and had crazy living, because they were like, when we get out of this body, our spirit's going to escape. It's going to be cool. So John's like, that is a false teaching. And so he made sure that they knew in John 1, 14, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. That's why he put that in there. And so he's refuting that teaching. And there's another false teaching that taught that Christ's spirit came in him when he was baptized, but somehow escaped before the crucifixion, because why would he want to be around for that? Who wants to be around for that, right? Now, John is teaching this scripture so that they could be refuting those negative and those false teachings. And so John says, let me set the record straight. Here's the first thing that children of God do. Number one, children of God testify. Everybody, let's say that together. Children of God testify. John says, it's not what we heard. It's not what somebody second or third hand got to us. We didn't Wikipedia this thing. We have an original source. His name is Jesus. We touched him. We hung out with him. We had lunch and dinner with him. We walked from Jerusalem to Jericho with him. We went up to Jerusalem three times a year for Sabbath, for Passover, for the Feast of Booths, for the Feast of Weeks. Three times a year, we walking up with Jesus, walking back with Jesus. We've seen him. Now, let me tell you something about witnesses, because that's what he's saying. I'm a witness. Here's what witnesses do. Witnesses see something and say something. Now, if we were at the corner here, this Big Rapids got like this major stuff going on now. Y'all on a major street now. It didn't used to be like that back in the day. But now it's like a major artery in this place. So, like, let's say, God forbid, it's a car accident right outside of Fellowship Church here, and five or six of you saw what happened. Some of you were in your car. Some of you were standing outside after fellowship, after the church service. Some of you were getting in the car. Some of you were down the street. The police are going to come and get statements from those. Raise your hand if you saw what happened. You raise your hand. They'll get testimonies because you saw something. Everybody's going to have a different perspective. It doesn't mean you're contradicting each other, but they're going to corroborate the evidence and they're going to figure out what happened. Now, that's why we have four gospels. Because we got four different accounts of what happened in Jesus' life. And Luke wasn't an actual disciple. He was a historian who gathered the facts, like the policeman I'm telling you about. Okay, so different accounts of what Jesus has done, they don't contradict each other. Everybody's telling a different perspective. And so John has a first-hand perspective. Hey, raise your hand if God's done anything in your life. Have you witnessed God do something in your life? Have you witnessed God do something in somebody else's life? Okay, if you see something, say something. Remember the old days when in the courtroom, and you ever see it on a movie or you see it for real, they pick up a Bible and say, do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God? You say, I do. Then they make you promise according to the word. Then you sit on the stand and you testify to what you've witnessed. And Jesus Christ is calling every believer to testify. I'm not the only preacher today, unfortunately. Or fortunately, because you have seen things that God has done that I have not seen. You have experienced something. You have a story. And you know people who have stories that you can share. We are all called to testify. Amen? Amen. That's what children of God do. The second thing we do is that we walk in the light. It says that this is the message we declare to him. God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all. That should sound very familiar. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In that God was light, and that light was the life of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Insert amen here.
Amen.
There it is. Amen. Because God is light. So, he is the one who's calling us to come into the light with him. Now, there's no darkness in him. He knows there's darkness in us. And he knows that we can't come to him like we are. We need some help. But he's saying, this is the path on which you are called to walk. Can you keep in step with me, God says. I'm going to teach you how to walk the right way. I'm going to teach you how to speak to your neighbor the right way. I'm going to teach you how to respond when somebody cuts you off in the middle of the street. Okay. Let's get a little real today. I'm going to teach you how to respond if somebody comes at you sideways and they say something really judgmental and critical to you. I'm going to teach you how to deal with the neighbor who likes to swear at you. I'm going to teach you how to deal with the person who has a different political view than you. And they swear up and down they're right. And there's nothing you can do to convince them. The Lord is very, very earthy and practical And he is showing us that we need to walk in the light, because he knows that the darkness in us wants to gratify our sinful flesh, wants to be prideful, wants to lust, wants to drink too much, wants to do a lot of things. And he's saying, I have a better way for you to live, and I'm going to show you how to do that. And our life should reflect Christ, period. Say amen.
Amen.
Our life should reflect Christ to others. You know, the moon doesn't have its own light, right? You know, the moon reflects the light of the sun. I think we need to do the same. Reflect the light of the S-O-N, not the S-U-N. That's what we need to do. Amen. And sometimes we get that wrong. That's why John put this in. The next thing that we need to know, and the final thing, is that children of light confess sin. Let's say that together. Children of light confess sin. Now, before I get into this one, I'd like you to know that because we have confession and assurance, our salvation and relationship with the Father is sure. Everybody say sure.
Sure.
That will not change. However, we need to live a certain way so that we maintain fellowship with him and with one another. So I want you to know there's a difference between relationship and fellowship. Relationship with God, I told you, my kids can't undo their sonship, daughtership. Cannot undo it, no matter what they do. They did not choose it. It was chosen for them. But the relationship is secure. And the fellowship, sometimes, we got to work on that. Because they will sometimes do things, and I will sometimes be too harsh, and that I need to restore fellowship with them. And John puts this in so that we can restore fellowship with one another. If we sin, we can confess our sin and have God purify us of all unrighteousness. If we say we have no sin, we're lying. Raise your hand if you ain't got no sin in here. I'm gonna leave and let you come up here and preach. Because, I mean, we're all sinners saved by grace through faith. Amen?
Amen.
So we all need it. And he puts the if in, not as a license to do whatever you want and try to get your way out of it. Paul, say prove it. Paul in Romans 6 says, shall we sin that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How are we going to live in it any longer? He's saying we have died to sin. We have a new life in Christ. Therefore, we need to understand that confession should be as easy as breathing or bathing. It should be as regular as that so that we can restore fellowship with one another. I give you an example. This is a true example. My son was saying, I'm so excited for the next school year. I'm going to play basketball and this and that and the other. So I go into analytical mode and I say, are you prepared? He's like, what do you mean? I said, well, are you going to get out there and start practicing, playing ball and everything? You know, get out there? He's like, well, right now I have work and I have school in the way and this and that. I'm hearing excuses. I'm like, what's stopping you now from doing what you can do? Because that's what you can't do. I missed it, though. As a father, I missed this. I should have been actually paying attention to his excitement about the year and celebrating with him. Instead, I was trying to correct him on a problem he didn't even say he needed solving. I was trying to fix something that didn't need fixing. It's like, well, I can help you with a plan if you want to do that. You see, you got a time to be on your cell phone and all of that. You don't have time to practice, but you got time to Instagram. I don't understand that. He just shut down. I seen his face. I crushed his spirit. I said, oh, here's what I realized. I need to confess this to him. Here's the problem, son. Instead of me listening to you and celebrating with you, I went into problem-solving mode. I need you to forgive me for trampling on your excitement. I should have been excited with you, and instead of solving the problem, just sitting there with you and enjoying the fact that you're anticipating a good thing. You already had your motivation. You had a plan. And I tried to bulldoze your plan and give you a better plan. Forgive me. See, what happened there, I restored fellowship with him. If we sin, we can confess our sins. And God will restore fellowship with one another. Everybody say fellowship.
Fellowship.
This is the issue. Sometimes we need to make sure that we come clean with God. And we come clean with one another. It doesn't mean that our relationship with him is in jeopardy. That's not what the conversation is. The conversation is about fellowship with one another. And when we do confess our sins, then we have an advocate. Jesus knows what temptations are like. Jesus knows how hard it is, and he understands. And he is here to advocate for us. Everybody say advocate.
Advocate.
So he's on the right hand of the Father praying for us right now, that we get it back together. I'm so glad that our salvation is set in him, and he's given us this way to continue it, to keep our fellowship restored. There's that harsh remark that I didn't know was a harsh remark, and my wife makes this face like, where'd that come from? And then I realized the Holy Spirit is like, you got to make that up right now. You have to, right here in the moment, confess it. And tell her, hey, I'm sorry I came off that harsh that way. See, that wouldn't have been an issue if I was talking to my buddies. We talk to each other like this all the time. We like poke each other. It don't matter. Blood, it don't matter. We just, you know, hey, man, suck it up, man. You all right? It's just a flesh wound. You'll be all right. But that's not the way I speak to my wife. So I had to confess that to her so that we can restore fellowship, because that will be on her mind all day. I'll compartmentalize and do something else. And she will still be thinking about that thing I said this morning. And so my prayer is that I would be more cognizant and aware of those things, and that we would all notice that when we unintentionally step on each other, that this is for us to confess sin and restore fellowship. Amen?
Amen.
So Jesus Christ knows what it's like. He is the one who is our model. He is the one who is the light, the one who is the one who testified to what the Father is doing and the Father has done. He is our example. Everybody say example.
Example.
He shows us how we live. John put this in here just in case we stumble, so that we can restore fellowship. And Christ has already ran our race. I'm so glad when I came in here, y'all did confession and assurance. Because a lot of churches are getting away from this. I don't know why. But we need that. We need to acknowledge that we have sin and how serious it is. We also have to acknowledge the fact that Christ forgives and restores us and sets us back over the clean slate.
Praise the Lord.
And I'm so glad. I need that each and every day. There's not one day. I need it twice on Sunday. Once a day and twice on Sunday. Amen?
Amen.
And so God is the one who helps us, because children of light, we testify. Children of light, we walk in the light. Children of light, we confess sin, because that's who we are. And we have the power of Christ to get that done. And whenever we need help, we can look to the left and look to the right, and we can get encouragement from our brothers and sisters. Amen?
Amen.
Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for who you are and what you're doing in our lives. Thank you for the point you bring us in our walk with you, God. And we just thank you that you have shown us what it means to walk as children of light. Lord God, I'll confess, I know that I don't always get that right. And I know that a lot of us don't. But Lord God, I thank you that you give us help. You sent the Father, you sent the Son, you sent the Holy Spirit to convict us when we're wrong, to show us that you continue to love us. And every day we wake up is another opportunity that says you're not done with us yet. And I love the fact that you're faithful to complete the work you started in us. So, Lord, thank you for the opportunity to remind us of these truths today. May they strengthen and encourage us. In Jesus' name, amen.